All right. Well, here we are. It's another episode of All Good in the Brotherhood, coming at you from the Benedict Project team here.
Yo.
We got myself, Tom Whitaker.
Nate Whitaker.
Little bro Nate.
I didn't know that was a cue for me to speak.
Yeah, that was a little cue. And then
Delay.
The birthday boy.
Yo,
Brother
hey.
Francisco.
Sup?
You go to any restaurants today and have your birthday song?
Well, I did go to a restaurant. I did not have my birthday song, happy birthday song there, but I did have happy birthday sung to me 3 times today.
Wow.
And I hate having happy birthday sung to me.
You didn't like it when your niece and nephew sent you a video of them?
That was precious. That was precious. I love that.
It was precious.
It was. They were so cute. I love them.
Specifically Gemma. Phillips was less precious. It was 4-year-old boy.
Gemma was really trying. She was into it. It was so adorable.
Yes.
That, I guess, 4 times then, because I'll count that. 3 cringy times, 1 that I truly loved.
There you go.
I did go out to, Nate, I went out to a Mexican restaurant.
Nice.
With Mr. Alex Steiner.
The Alex Steiner.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Idaho boy. Yeah. Were any of the people that sang cringy happy birthday to you listeners of this show?
Yes.
Super awkward.
Okay, yeah, cool. So, yeah.
Oh, she knows.
They're, not even a little bit offended.
Yeah.
They know. They know. The response I gave to them was, it was very clear how much I did not like it.
That's okay. That also doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah, because that's Sam. We don't really talk enough about Brother Francisco's personality on this podcast. We talk about all kinds of things, and his personality maybe shines through a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's actually just a jerk.
So Thank you.
We should probably acknowledge that real quick.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Happy birthday, jerk.
Yeah, happy birthday, though.
Hey.
So, yeah, it is Brother Francisco.
Even jerks need happy birthdays.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, a good happy birthday song will bring out the jerk in all of us.
That's true.
Yeah, because there's no good, well-sung birthday. Like, it's just not...
It's a stupid song.
It's a poorly designed tune.
It is really fun, though, if you sing it or, hum it in, a minor key, though. If you shift it all to
dark birthday.
Key,
happy dark birthday. Those are fun.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Nate's played Happy Birthday in a minor key on the piano. That's fun. So
I played Jingle Bells in a minor key too.
Yeah,
so way later.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's so I went out for ice cream in the afternoon. Had Mexican for dinner. So it was a good day. It was a good day.
Wow.
So Francisco.
Yes.
How do monks celebrate birthdays?
Oh
yeah.
Yeah. They don't.
They don't.
So
apparently they do. You had enchiladas and ice cream.
Well, okay, so that's how I celebrate my birthday.
Yeah.
Because ice cream is a love language.
You're really a make-a-wish kid. You just get whatever you want.
That's insane.
Monks are sad. Exception, Brother Francisco. monks don't do podcasts. Exception, Brother Francisco. Monks don't get to go to Disneyland for free. Exception. So,
well, I mean, you're not wrong.
You could probably have LeBron James come to the monastery if you asked for it.
Yep.
I don't know. Anyways, so how do monks celebrate birthdays? Well, pretty much not at all. I mean, at best, we'll get an acknowledgement. We do have, so in the refectory where we eat, there's a list. It's like in a picture frame that changes every month that has the list of people's birthdays that month and then if it's their feast day that month.
Yeah. I thought it was going a whole other direction. It's like a hit list.
Oh, no.
Schwack this month.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great. Whose birthday it is. And then when I first was in the monastery, there actually was a custom to sing happy birthday at one of the meals, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, to the brother or sometimes brother. So I actually share a birthday with one of the monks here. We are 60 years apart. So he turned 88 today. And he is – the people joke that his theme song is Forever Young because he looks – he does not look like he's almost 90. I mean, the dude looks maybe 70.
That's crazy.
Very youthful. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. So we share a birthday. So they would be accustomed of singing happy birthdays. But about 2 or 3 years ago, they actually made a move to move away from that because they said it's too secular of a thing. Which is ironic. That's what we put up a stand about secularism in this community. But sorry, Father Abbott. We should focus on the celebration of the monk's patron and their feast day, which I agree with. Because I took on Francisco And not that my birthday changes, but the celebration of my monasticism is reflective of Francisco more than Sam. So, like, so to me, in as a monk, February 20th, which is the feast of Francisco Marto, is a bigger deal to me, like, on this level than the monasteries would see April 10th. So
February 20th, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, now it did.
But now we know when to send them Legos.
Yep.
So, there you go. That'd be cool. So, but that being said, they still did sing happy birthday to me today because the older monks hate that that has changed. Because that's how they've been for so long. And things were always one way and then they aren't and they don't like, we don't like change. There's two things humans hate, change and that things stay the same. So, they hated the change of it. So whenever it's like a monk, if the monk's like over 75, then they probably sing happy birthday to him. So Father Joe Gerg, who's the one who I share a birthday with, they sang happy birthday to him at breakfast. I didn't go to breakfast. So at lunch, he started happy birthday for me. And I was like, thanks everyone. So yeah, that's what we do. Other than that, it's not really any kind of, except for if you hit 90, then you get a party.
Ooh,
so we actually, one of our monks just turned 90, so he got to pick his dinner, dessert, the like beverage of choice. So he picked steak. Like, let's freaking go, my God. Yeah, so we had steak, we had great sides, we had wine, ice cream, cake. It was great.
Was this during Lent still?
Yeah, it was like 5 days ago.
That sounds decadent, but
you should try to live to be 90 for that reason alone.
Yeah, just to get a steak, just to buy request steak,
yeah,
or ribs or something. Yep.
April. So yeah, that's kind of
that scenario.
What would I pick in that scenario?
Yeah, say you live to be 90. Say you luck out.
I would want like gourmet burgers. I want gourmet burgers. With like bacon, like a burger bar, but with like really well cooked burgers.
Okay.
Hard
to go together.
And like, I don't know, a side of maybe like onion rings or like seasoned fries. Very American. And then beer. We always have wine at these things. I want beer.
Yeah.
Imported German beer.
From that tube.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So true. I like that.
What?
No solid foods for this one.
Just put the burger and the fries and the beer in a blender.
Why not?
Yeah, I wonder if that could work.
Call it a backyard smoothie. A BBQ smoothie or a...
American,
yeah.
I wonder if it could work. Probably not, but I wonder.
We might as well try.
Been having a good afternoon.
I mean, beers during like the olden days, medieval days, were like thick. They were malty. They were like, you're like drinking wheat. It was like wet wheat.
Yeah, so, monks used to go on beer fast, so that the only like calorie intake they had were beer.
Yeah,
I love that because some people go on beer fast, meaning
the other way around.
Don't take in during Lent is beer, but
yeah.
I like that idea.
I'm doing that, and it's really sad. I like beer quite a bit.
Me too.
So.
I'm suffering. So I think next Lent, let's all do
that the other.
Fast.
We only drink beer.
That would be insane. You have to have like really, like hearty beer if you're going to be doing that.
Yep.
Or you just have like a great 4 days and then die.
So how was your Lent? Well, great. We all became alcoholics by the end, but we had a great Lent.
We had to.
Drank a lot of
beer. Six pack a day keeps the devil.
It's kind of dang. This is a pretty off the wall episode. I guess it's because it's 10 o'clock at night.
Not bad.
Oh, that's happy birthday. That's early.
So. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yep. But
so any insights?
On what? Yeah,
what?
Anything. What were you about to say?
I don't even remember what I was about to say.
Sorry.
Celebrations. Why do we celebrate? Okay, here's a question for you guys. What's the importance of celebrating a birthday anyways? Like, why do we do it? The person has not accomplished anything in life. But Brother Bosco would like to say that we celebrate birthdays because it's the only day that we can celebrate you for without you having to do anything, which I like that. But that's like a very counter... like at least like materialistic or capitalistic achiever driven society that we own, like we celebrate like achievement. If we just should celebrate anyone for birthdays, it should be the mom for having to go through all that. So why do you think we even celebrate birthdays. What's the point of celebrating birthdays or celebrating those kind of anniversaries?
I was just going to say, if you were still single, that would have been a big green flag quote right there. I think we should celebrate the mom. Like, that's a massive green flag.
That's true. That's true.
Endeared yourself to the hearts of any female listeners, but yep. I actually don't have anything to say, Tom.
That is good. Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, I think the one thing is just, it's kind of interesting that we're probably, like, Western civilizations and probably America makes a bigger deal of it than I bet most of the rest of the world does. And I only say that partially out of, like, I had two good buddies I worked with when I was working in, like, Asian foreign policy at one point. And they both talked about how in most of Asia, your birthday is actually considered, like, they just, like, walk 9 months back from your birthday. Mm-hmm. And then that's, like, from your, when you pop out of the womb. And that's, like, your birthday. They, like,
conception
and
day.
This is even, like, a lot of Asia is not, like, there's a lot of Asian countries that struggle with, like, you know, abortion, just like this country does. But they still see that as being, like, the beginning of your life. It's, like, when you can see.
Shockingly very, scientific.
Very powerful, because in this country, we just, generally speaking, we don't consider that.
Denial. Real.
That's crazy.
But I think that's a pretty cool thing.
That's your life.
Like, yeah, like, that's, to me, that's almost a more, when you think about it, even though it's, like, it's hard to nail it down to a T, you know, of which, you know, which day and all that good stuff. But, like,
yeah, we don't want to either.
Yeah,
that's too many questions I'd rather not have answered.
Sure. I mean.
Though I have, sadly, really sadly. But anyways.
Yeah,
In a healthy marriage.
In a healthy marriage, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, ha ha. But, like, you know, for more people, that's, like, not really relevant. So, yeah, but I think that's, like, a bigger celebratory event of, like, that second. Maybe not again, because, again, if you narrow it down a day, it's honestly that second. But, like, that point in time when you went from just, like, this thing that was always, God always had a plan for that person to, like, and now you're here. You know, kind of like the, you know, it's not as significant as the word became flesh, but it's still, like, the soul that God.
Yeah.
So a soul was created. There is a singular moment in which a soul is created.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think that's, like, that's a more more worthy of celebration in many ways. Birthday is like I actually would agree, like, a green flag comment or otherwise, like,
praise
the hero of the day on the birthday is the mom.
Yeah.
Hands down. So
we didn't do crap, bro.
Yeah.
We just popped out.
Just caused a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Pain
towards still do.
Yeah, actually, that's all we were good at during that phase of the,
Let's go.
In fact, maybe you and me, Sam, especially caused some problems. I mean, I was a C-section, you were some other
issue. I caused a seizure.
I think I was big chilling comparatively.
Yeah, relatively speaking, you were good in that one moment of your life.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is it pointless that we celebrate birthdays then?
Well, I think it's, sorry.
See, it's funny because, like, what I will say, and maybe this is just the product of, like, our culture, but, like, now as a dad with kids, I think when, like, it's fun to just, like, be a little bit more, like, intentional to a child, like, when a son or a daughter, about, like, this is the day that this is the anniversary of the first day I held you, the first day we held you in our arms and, you know, looked you in the eyes. And so, like, recognizing that as a parent, I think for parents, like, there's a different sense of why birthdays are special, because it is like a meaningful anniversary, just like you celebrate, you know, an anniversary of when you got married and things like that. It's just, it's the first day of a new chapter and a significant chapter in your life. But yeah, I mean, you get to a point where you're an adult, and people these days still, like, I think a lot of people our age still treat, like, your birthdays like, I gotta go out and gotta go party and gotta have a party and gotta get the things, people gotta give me stuff, you know,
it's a pretense.
Yeah, it's kind of just this expectation, and it's not, I don't really think that's, you know, that's just a materialist tradition. That's not one based in any sort of real sense of, like, oh, this is a meaningful day, you know. And then again, it's not that commemorating that day for what occurred in it isn't, like, a bad thing. It's honestly more the trappings. I mean, so you can say the same for Christmas in some ways, is that
Christmas caught up in one way to celebrate
beautiful, you know, commemoration of the birth of our Lord, the Nativity, but we fill it with all these trappings of these other things of materialistic interests and
very true.
And it, it kind of, even, I mean, as somebody who loves Christmas, it's,
oh,
it's,
yeah, we all
an epic holiday, epic holy day. And, but yeah, we just materialized it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, dude. Were you going to say something or?
Well, I might be taking it a slightly different direction. So if you wanted to add anything to that, Nate, then go ahead.
I'll close it, yeah.
No, I just thought it was a really good point, and I think it is worthwhile, not from a dad's perspective, but just in general, to have a day out of the year as a kid when you know you're going to be acknowledged. Like, I think it's everybody deserves some day of the year where, in a very intentional way, they get some focus and get some love. But, yeah, it's too focused on superficial things, I think, especially the older you get. I think when you're a kid, it's super cool to just have a day of the year. Kids love looking forward to birthdays. At least I remember I always did. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's getting to the end of September. My birthday is going to be coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, we're not trying to be fun mongers here.
No, like, exactly.
Yeah.
Or fun killers. Yeah. But once you get to be past 25, it's kind of cringe to just be yapping up about your birthday. It's a valid excuse to get together with friends because you should just strive for any opportunity to get together with friends. But like you were saying, Tom, so you kind of use it as a pretense to just do debauched things or have a wild night out in the town. That's not really necessary. And there's a lot of other occasions that honestly I think are more important that deserve attention. So, yeah.
And to all that, I agree. I would respond, though, that even if you think that you've aged out of the time where it seems justifiable to have that kind of level of kid attention for your birthday, do you not still, even with all of that, know that when your birthday's coming, there's, you're anticipating a little bit of something different? 100%. You're anticipating people acknowledging you. You're anticipating some celebration, no matter how small. And what it has become with a lack of this understanding of like the value of the human person is that people use all of these ways of having fun or throwing pleasure into it or doing something different with it, I think, as the way to feed into that, like, I desire to be loved. This is a day that, like, it's even universally acceptable for me to be a little bit more selfish about asking that people love me or hoping that people see me or recognize that I exist. And if the only way I can make sure that people do that is to go and party with them or to say, these are the fun things we're doing, we have planned, or because people can't actually love each other with words and with expressions of feelings, the only way I can love you is to give you something, at least I'll do that. I don't know how to be your friend, but I can throw you $20. That makes me, that fulfills my obligation to say, well, I've thought about you, and hopefully you interpret that as I'm loved or I'm received or whatever. I don't think we should ever grow out of that desire, because it's natural within us to be known and seen. A little kid is, that's taken care of. But I don't think there's ever a moment where we transition and all of a sudden we're like walked through that place where, yeah, you're old enough now, you don't get to receive that like the way you did when you were a kid. And it's just kind of expected that we don't need it anymore. And we actually need it even more because we're getting it less.
And so, if we're honest with ourselves, if your birthday came and went and nobody acknowledged it, you would be disappointed.
You'd be crushed, 100%.
Yeah, right.
And I was just talking to a friend, because I was like, it was a few days ago, and they mentioned like, oh, your birthday's coming up. And I was like, yeah, it's whatever. And they said, it's not whatever. And that, like, when people disqualify, like, that they want their birthday to be celebrated, it has nothing to do with a humility or nothing to do with, like, oh, you know, my birthday's not the big of a deal. It's a defense mechanism, guarding yourself, anticipation of being let down. So I'll manage my expectations that no one's going to care. So then when someone does, oh, it's a surprise. But ultimately, I actually really need people to care. And then if they don't, then I'm proven right that no one gives a crap.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It is a very childlike instinct and desire. And I think you're right that children have that need to be seen and to be loved. but they're more open about it and they're more trusting that they will receive it and they don't feel any need to put up defense mechanisms or act like they don't want those things. Whereas when you get older, you still have those fundamental desires to be acknowledged and to be shown love, but we think to ourselves or convince ourselves that we need to convince other people that we don't need those things. Partly, mm-hmm. I think, as a defense mechanism because we're anticipating disappointment. But I think there's a pressure when you reach adulthood where you say, you know, maybe those desires that I have as a kid and that I still have even now, I have to act like I don't have them. I have to convince everybody else that I don't need any attention. I don't want any acknowledgement. So when someone brings up that my birthday's coming up, I have to say, no, it's no big deal because I don't want to let on in any way that I'm actually excited that my birthday's coming up and I hope something good will happen.
Yeah, I just I was just praying about like the relationship between fear and pride yesterday. And I actually was, check out our Instagram page. If you have never been checked out our Instagram page, go to the Benedict Project on Instagram. I actually just like posted this today, but a lot of us live in this like dualistic like trap of being afraid of being alone and yet having the pride of not needing other people. And that it fluctuates back and forth.
Feed each other.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be alone, but I don't want other people to think that, so I don't need them. But when I push them away, then I'm alone, and then the cycle continues. So, Tom, I don't know. Yeah, did you have anything you're gonna throw in there?
No, it's just I know we talked a lot about this podcast about just the reality of vulnerability and how important that is to having like healthy relationships with others. And I think birthdays are probably, because it's kind of like a caricature of like a significant event throughout the year, you know, like we kind of make a little bit of a joke of it, even you know, and probably part of making that light of it is because we feel vulnerable. And maybe, you know, maybe there's a side of this too. Not only do we want to be known and loved and seen, but we actually don't think we deserve it, that we don't think we've earned it. And I can kind of say I felt like that at times in my adult life, when people would kind of like, you know, go a little extra mile on my birthday for, you know, some way, shape or form. Right. And it's kind of like, there's that voice of like, yes, I want this. Yes, I got to kind of act like I don't really care, because that's kind of like what a tough guy does, you know. But then also there's this part of it where it's like, maybe I don't feel like I deserve this. You know, maybe I don't feel like I am actually lovable or am actually worth being seen, you know?
Exactly.
So that's just, I don't think I ever thought about birthdays in that sense. It's just another little example of how we have to learn to be okay with being vulnerable, being okay with being held, you know? Because you're not being held, you know, in a necessarily literal sense on your birthday, but you're being held in kind of like a form of, you know, others' attention. And that can be uncomfortable for some people, probably because they're either starved from it or they feel like they don't deserve it.
But yeah. No. I was just breathing. Sorry. I'm just taking in what you're saying.
So. Yeah. No. Yeah. And that. Yeah, I agree. Which makes me like even more convicted, because I've had so many people wish me happy birthday today. It's just been really like, I do feel very loved. Yeah. That I'm not great at that. There's like maybe you guys and a couple of my really close friends I'll say happy birthday to, but otherwise I just don't like, I mean, some, I don't know a lot of people's birthday, so I think that's legitimate. Sure. But for even people, I'm like, oh wow, that was a couple days ago. I kind of forgot about that. That if you don't celebrate the birthday, at least give them an affirmation. That's something that I can, like, honestly, I try to do that. Almost like celebrate everyone's day today as a birthday for them. Like, what is a reason that I could celebrate you today? Giving people affirmations. I love intentional affirmations, where I'm saying something about this person that they know I can't just say about other people generically either. So like an affirmation based on our experience as friends, that can be some of the best birthday presents or just gifts we can give to people, is affirming who you are based on what I know about our relationship, or something I see that I can articulate only based on how I see it.
You know, I just wanted to add in line with that. I think maybe part of why we feel reluctance about birthdays or almost some uneasiness about them is that there is an air of superficiality about it. I don't know if you ever felt this, but we all have those desires we've been talking about to be seen and acknowledged. But even though we want that, we want it to come in a genuine way, and we want it to feel like something people are willing to offer throughout the whole year to kind of continually show that we deserve that in a good way. And yet, so there's something weird about, at least I've felt this, when maybe you guys are experiencing someone you don't really know that well, or they don't really ever acknowledge you throughout the rest of the year, but then it's your birthday, and suddenly they're like, oh my gosh, happy birthday, I'm so excited for you. It feels very superficial, or even if it's not that far, just a distant acquaintance. It might just be some good friends that throughout the rest of the year, they don't show any particular affirmation or kindness or encouragement. But then on your birthday, they would feel like they need to go all out. And there's this feeling of, well, I really appreciate this, but why isn't this shown throughout the rest of the year? Why? And partly that's on me, because I do that too. I'm sure I've done that to plenty of friends in a bad way. But not only is why is this not throughout the rest of the year, but also why does it feel so superficial today? Like the only cool thing you can say to someone else, the only kind thing is happy birthday. We love you generically as a person, instead of more throughout the year, more intentional affirmations like the kind you're talking about that acknowledge a person's unique gifts or abilities or virtues. You know, happy birthday is kind of just a generic thing. You could say, we love you as a person. We're so happy for you. Have a great day. Like, you could say it to anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of like the Facebookification of happy birthday. Yeah. It's just like, there was a phase where it's just like, oh, okay. Five birthdays today. Okay. But happy birthday, so-and-so. Happy birthday, so-and-so. Happy birthday. You know, and you just kind of reflexively do that. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe it's an authentic like happy birthday to like a close friend, and then maybe it's just like because you got reminded on a social media platform that so and so's birthday, and that's kind of like where you can again, and I think we grew up with this too at times, you know, whether it's like Father's Day, Mother's Day, or just those holidays where we're kind of like called to maybe give some special attention to somebody, and you kind of sometimes realize when you're writing that birthday card or that Mother's Day or that Father's Day card, you're like, you do kind of get hit pretty often with like, man, what if I just like every once in a while out of the blue did something just like
this. Yep.
Just did it not on a Mother's Day, not on a Father's Day, not on a birthday, took the time to write somebody a letter, like, so it didn't feel like a check, like going through the motions. I mean, this is what prayer, this is like, you know, why, you know, our faith can't be constrained to just that 1 hour on a Sunday while we're Christmas and Easter, you know, like it can't be constrained to that one like act of devotion, because otherwise it makes it feel like, you know, or, you know, for those people that are receiving that gift, like it's disingenuine, like it's not real. And, you know, certainly again with our faith, it can't just be those momentary, when we find the time, when we have the opportunity, it needs to be holistic and more than just that isolated instance. So,
yeah. Yeah. I just was thinking of, I don't know. Dad, I feel like Dad might've said this once, but those that we love should never question that we do. Like words of affirmation, being with them and being intentional, more than just when it's convenient or whatever, when we're reminded by whatever holiday is in the store, or whatever notification we get. I mean, I'll even, my phone will now, even if I text happy birthday to someone, it'll be like, reminder set now that this person's birthday is today. It's like, it's almost like take away your obligation to remember anything anymore. It's an act of love to remember particular things about people. If we truly say we love people, there shouldn't come a day where they question that. And then there are so many ways we can express love. And you know, this is certainly one way. Celebrate a people. Yeah. And I'm not here like, oh my gosh, celebrate everything about everyone. I'm not, you know, one of those like woke people who thinks that just like if you take two steps, you know, you've accomplished the world. If you're two, or you're one, 100%, right? But if you're 25, you should be able to walk out your door and do a functional human job and not be patted on the back every time you just submit a report on time. But at the same time, maybe for you that day, getting out of bed was the thing that you needed celebrated because it was so hard to do.
100%. And to avoid any of this sounding overly mushy or feelings-based,
Hey, I'm the one you called a jerk, and you're saying, let's not get mushy here. I'm just saying, I'm not the only one.
What?
Sorry, never mind. You called me.
Yeah, never mind. Sorry, now I'm only calling you a jerk. I'm also gaslighting. See, I'm excellent. So, sensational. Let's just revel in that for a second. No, for fear of this sounding too mushy and emotional, and maybe guys listening saying, yeah, that sounds cute, but they don't want to go around sharing love with all my buddies all year round like we're a bunch of cute girls. You can do this, what we're talking about, in a very masculine way.
For sure. Yeah.
You can, what we're talking about, affirmation sounds like sort of a soft term. What we're talking about is just the virtue of encouragement, being encouraging.
Yeah.
And acknowledging something in another guy, even if it's something that might seem superficial. Like, dude, yo, I know you've been hitting the gym lately, you've been putting in good work and being disciplined. I admire that. Good stuff. Just send him a text like that.
Yeah, or, dude.
Bro, I know you've been working hard to provide for your family. I'm proud of you. Just acknowledging that we can admire things in other people, that we see something respectable and worthwhile in another human being, can really lift up their day and maybe their week, because we are starved for encouragement in this day and age.
And even the simplest thing, and I've started doing this too, is just texting someone, hey, I was thinking about you today.
Yeah.
Like, that's so basic.
Yeah.
But I've had a lot of friends say, like, wow, I really needed that. And it was literally just like, I was like, huh. You know, I was thinking about conversation, and it reminded me, like, oh, that guy. And instead of like, oh, he's nice, or like, he's a good friend of mine, just text him, just thinking about you today. Yeah. That could be sometimes enough.
Yeah, true.
Let the Holy Spirit guide you and just play some affirmation roulette. Take your phone contacts, scroll randomly, and just then tap the phone, whichever name you land on. If it's a buddy, text them.
Yeah, dude. Share why you're grateful.
Pray for them and tell them that you've been praying for them.
Yeah.
And that could change someone's day dramatically. It's true. Because
you
do not know what someone's going through. And even if they're not going through something dramatic, even if they're not at the end of their rope, so to speak, just that alone could lift them out of a spirit of mediocrity for the day.
Where they're
just going through another day, walking their way through some work shift or something. And then they get reminded that, no, they actually matter.
Yeah.
So I like that. No, that's good. I think that's a good one. I like that idea too. Encouragement roulette. You know, like, we got these phones, let's every once in a while use it for good. Instead of doom scrolling, instead of, you know, being addicted to this, that, or the other social media platform or whatever news, use it to, you know, like, these things are branded, and even though I don't think they do the very good job of it, of being, you know, connecting people and all these things, but like, it really actually is, it's about, you know, starting how we use these tools.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. Now we are getting back to being mushy. Yeah, like that. Play encouragement roulette.
Yeah. That's our homework. I want to do that. And how about all you who are listening? Do it too.
Yep.
For the next week, just try it the week. One person a day. Just pull up your contacts, like, give a big swipe, or just start scrolling. And then just stop. And, you know, a text affirmation is great. Also, just like, call the person out of the blue.
Yeah.
That's way better. Yeah. Even if you just get their voicemail, leave them a message. I've started doing that with more people.
Hit *67 before you dial the number so they can't tell who you are.
And then pretend to be somebody else.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding. This is President Trump. This is President Trump.
Huge. You've done a huge job.
You're great.
Abu Bakar al-Baghdadi is dead. He died like a dog. Sorry. Impersonate President Trump. Or say you're some Nigerian prince.
Ooh.
And you're asking for just a little bit of money to help you out. Help out your kingdom. You've been unrightfully deposed. And then after that, when they're about to
hang
up
with
you, you say, actually, I'm praying for you.
Yeah, dude. That would actually be funny. What a wild way to think, but yeah, dude. So do that. Well, I'm gonna do it.
Yep.
See what.
100%.
Drop a comment below if you're gonna do it. We want to hear it. That'd be great.
Don't drop a comment. We'll assume you're super weird.
Yeah. There you go. Don't be lame. So we're gonna wrap it up there, because I think we might be derailing again. So. Thank you for joining us for another episode of All Good in the Brotherhood Podcast. I'm Brother Francisco. Those two goons are
my
brothers.
Smash that subscribe button. Slam that like button. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Francisco.
Ringle that notification bell. I don't know. Jingle.
Jingle that dingle.
Okay, well, that's getting cut.
That's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, leave us a rating on Spotify or Apple. That way, you know, add a rating adds to the algorithm. So, yeah, thank you for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful, God bless day. Throw out an encouragement to someone who needs it, and you are cared about and loved as well.